For a short time this afternoon, we'll be speaking on a subject that I'm sure we've all heard before. Most of the lessons I give are things that I'm sure everyone already knows, but I guess it's never, hurts to recap on some things. It's always good to have them in the back of our mind. A few minutes ago, we just sang a song, or Brother Mike led a song, talking about how we can be satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, we'll have a gold one that's silver lined. It's kind of great that the promise that we're given as Christians, that we know that if we are found faithful in the eyes of God when our time comes, that we are promised a mansion, and that one that our Savior has prepared for us. That song reminded me of a saying that I can't remember who first told it to me, but it basically was, it's great that we have a home prepared for us in heaven, but I'd be happy just to be just inside the city gates. Talking about how, as long as we can make it there. And I believe my dad referenced to that phrase a couple times in my childhood as well. If he can just make it there, he's okay with that. He doesn't have to have a mansion. He doesn't have to have quite something like that. If he can just, if we can just make it inside, we'll be okay. Over time, that phrase has changed a little bit to where, with society the way it is now, with us being the human race becomes lazier and lazier and more entitled and things like that, a lot of people are saying, well, all I need to do is just enough to get inside. Instead of focusing on doing what we need to do to be where we need to be, they just want to do the bare minimum. The problem with that thinking is that in today's time, there's so many different beliefs, so many different ideas of what it takes to be found faithful and what it's going to take at the end to be able to go through those gates, if you will. So for this evening, we'll talk about asking ourselves, is it enough? What we're doing in our lives today. You know, sometimes whenever it gets real quiet at the end of the day, after you go home, you're ready for bed, you're lying in bed, and all those thoughts seem to just slow down. And you actually stop and ask yourself the whole day, do you think you did enough? Do you think we did what we were supposed to? Did we do enough in order to glorify God? Did we do enough that we were found pleasant in His sight? As I said before, there are many people in the religious world who have very narrow concepts of Christianity, and there are so many that believe in different things these days and what it takes to get to heaven. We find similar attitude among members of the church sometimes. In the denominations, there are people who think God is not very strict, and all you have to do is just believe in His existence, and we're promised salvation. In a survey of several thousand people, and I don't know exactly when this survey was taken, I would assume that the numbers are quite different now, probably in the probably a little bit worse off, but it says that it revealed that about 67% of those interviewed believed in heaven. And 88% of those that believed in heaven and that they were surely going to go. As I said just a second ago, I think these numbers have probably changed, unfortunately. I don't know if I believe that 67% of everyone thinks that heaven is real anymore, unfortunately, because of all the lies and the alternate thinking that's in the world today. We also have members of the church who seem to think that just because they have been baptized, and as long as they stay out of trouble or do what they feel is in their realm of just or right, that they will be okay. And as long as they stay out of trouble and go to communion every Lord's Day, or at least most of the time, the Lord will surely save them. Unfortunately, this isn't the case. They expect to be saved by the bare extent of duty, or by the bare minimum. As many times as I said before, and I got this from from someone else. Whenever a question like this arises, the best thing to do is see what the Bible says about the subject. The Bible shows that God has a plan of salvation which requires more than some believe it takes to get to heaven. Hence the title of the lesson, It Is Not Enough. First, it's not enough to just be morally good. It's true that Christians are to be good, moral people if they hope to get to heaven. We all know this. But morality alone will not save. We have an example of one of the most moral and basically good young men anyone could ever hope to find in Matthew chapter 9, verses 6 through 22. He kept all the commandments of the Lord from his childhood up, but failed to be saved when told by Jesus there was one other thing he needed to do. The Bible actually says he went away sorrowful. His morality was not enough. There's so many people in the world today, that many of my friends, and I'm sure you have friends as well, that are good people, wouldn't harm the wings of a fly. But morality isn't enough. Some seem to think that regardless of what they believe, if they are just religious, they will surely get to heaven. However, in Acts chapter 17, we're told that when the Apostle Paul went to Athens, he found a city steeped in religious error. The people even had an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom they ignorantly worshipped. So here's a set of people that are obviously religious. They obviously have no problem worshipping something, to the point that they made a statue to the unknown God just to make sure they didn't leave anybody out. But Paul, when he was given the opportunity to speak to the people, he referred to that altar and then said he was going to tell them about this God. In his speech, he told them that there was a time when God winked to ignorance, but he now commands all men everywhere to repent, because there is going to be a resurrection and all people everywhere are going to be judged by Jesus in that day. We can find this in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. So we know that just being religious is not enough. Many people throughout the world claim to worship God in one way or another. They think it makes no difference to the Lord how, as long as we worship. Some people feel that just by trying or just by showing an initiative or an attempt is going to be good enough. This isn't the case. The Bible teaches everything that it takes to please the Lord. And is this just enough to please the Lord? Jesus says in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Another example we can find in Acts chapter 8, we're told of a man who traveled over 1,000 miles to worship God, only to find he was wrong, and his worship unacceptable to the Lord. When he learned the truth, he accepted it immediately. When he obeyed the gospel, he went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 39. So it's not enough just to be religious. It's not enough just to show initiative. It's not enough just to believe. Just to worship the Lord is not enough regardless of how honest we might be. We have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We can see by the scriptures to worship the Lord is important. Everything we read goes to this philosophy or this idea. It's important. It's nothing to take lightly. But to worship only occasionally is not enough. The scriptures indicate that it was the practice of faithful Christians to assemble each first day of the week on the Lord's Day to worship God. We read this in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. We're informed also in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The writer lets us know that it is a willful sin for one to make this mistake. Jesus also said to his disciples, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That's found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Which it simply means to put God first in our lives before everything else. Now, as the years go by, it seems that things get faster. Deadlines get shorter. Work gets harder. And as many lessons have gone on before, a lot of this is me preaching to myself. We seem to run out of time a lot easier. And our priority list seems to shuffle quite a bit. But out of everything on that list, the one thing that should remain the same is priority number one. And that's God. God comes first. We need to learn an important lesson. It's not enough to worship occasionally. So how important is it that we be sincere and diligent in serving the Lord? Well, James informs us in James chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." It really would be awful if we were to come short in the day of judgment thinking that we are going to heaven, only to be renounced by the Lord and lost forever. It's not enough to keep most of the will of God. Another thing that has always been mentioned to me when growing up is the little things that'll get you. Maybe not the big ones, as we like to seem to prioritize sin these days. It's not like you're killing somebody or you're stealing something. It's the little things. Some of the things that we don't even think about. I was on a trip to a gospel meeting with Colin Smith back when he was here, very young. And we were traveling through and we stopped at a convenience store. As we were in line, it was actually a very busy convenience store at the time. I guess it was rush hour or something. But he got one of those cookies from the bakery, a little bakery shelf. And as we're waiting in line, he accidentally ate the cookie. Didn't even realize it. Well, he also didn't pay for it. Nobody realized that he had it. And we were about 30 minutes down the road before he even realized what happened. And he told us, "Man, you know, I didn't pay for that." And we asked him how much it was. He said, 10 cents. Anyway, that ate him up the whole way. We wound up going to the service, had a great service, visited with some folks, got to meet new people. And as we were on our way back, he stopped at that convenience store. It was late, new shift, completely different person at the counter. But he walked in, put 10 cents on the counter, and said, "I came in here earlier today, and I ate a cookie without paying for it." The look on that young lady's face was just priceless. She, at first she was surprised. Then she was thinking, "Why are you making such a big deal about 10 cents? It doesn't matter." Now, it might not have been a bad thing. It might have been completely okay. But what Cullen used to tell me is better safe than sorry. And he told me, he looked back when I was in the back seat. And he said, "I sure would hate to lose out on the promise of God and salvation over 10 cents. So it's the small things you need to be aware of. He demands for us to be faithful as well. As I said, it would be awful for us to come up short in the day of judgment thinking that we're going to heaven only to be renounced and lost forever. He wants complete submission to Him and His will. He demands faithfulness. And finally, in closing this evening, it's not enough for a person to just have good intentions and plan someday to do better. To plan someday to obey the gospel or to become more sincere and more dedicated to serving the Lord. Many people have died unprepared to meet God simply because he put a salvation off for a more convenient time. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It's not enough just to plan to do better. My brother gave a lesson a long time ago. He said, there's no better time than now. If there's something that's keeping you from coming forward, if there's something that just you can't get over or don't think you can get over, that's keeping you from taking the necessary steps to salvation, he simply said, get over it. We want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call. We also want to offer the prayers of the church up to any of those who wish to receive them. Whatever the case may be, we would ask that you would come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.